I want you to turn to the 23rd chapter of Numbers. I'm going to start in the 22nd chapter. I had begun teaching through the book of Exodus, had brought us in the book of Exodus to Sinai. I want to go back to Exodus and finish Exodus. I have not gone through the Bible, as some have, chapter by chapter, book by book, because I pastor a living and vital congregation, and God leads into his book at the time of need with the message of the hour. But I have preached through the book of Hebrews. It took me 5 years. I'm about ready to go through the 11th chapter again, the heroes of faith, because I think we need that. Whether on festival or from the cathedral pulpit, I'm not sure, because I want to return to the Revelation series in Daniel. Through the Hebrew series, I also preached through the book of Ezekiel, in covering the promises of God. We've covered most of Jeremiah. I'm about through with the book of Exodus. I preached through 1 Peter. Certainly preached through Galatians. I would suppose that before my ministry finishes, should the Lord tarry, I will have preached at some time through every book of the Bible. And if the air conditioning is turned all the way down, then there's something wrong, and somebody better go on the roof to see if it's frozen up, because it's too hot in here. Open that door to give us some circulation. That means, and before I came here, I spent 5 years at Westcott Christian Center in Orville preaching verse by verse through the book of Romans. On shortwave, since that's not on videotape and only on audio tape, I probably will pick a time and play the entire Roman series, which, since pastoring here, you've not had the opportunity to hear. We've not even offered the tapes and the tape list. But I spent 5 years going verse by verse through the book of Romans from the pulpit in Oroville. What I'm saying is that we are very close to being able to have our own through the Bible series at some time in the band programming, where I play these different books that were taught from at God's prompting at different times and not in consecutive order, and that isn't the way you should read the Bible anyway. I remember preaching through the book of Esther with considerable vim and vigor. The foundation of this church was laid when I taught through Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Many of you who've come lately do not remember that teaching on Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Over 16 years as I now come toward the 16th anniversary and start my 17th year, first week of November, we've covered a lot of Bible through these many years of preaching and teaching on festival and from the pulpit in the sanctuaries. I want to finish Exodus and go consecutively into Numbers and Deuteronomy. But I'm skipping around now because I'm pursuing a path of God's national promises to his chosen people as a demonstration of his faithfulness to his word and ability to carry it out, to demonstrate his control over history, and to provide a basis for our faith coming by hearing God's performance and building a confidence in God's faithfulness to his word and the surety that he will, if there was some quantitative measure of faithfulness, he certainly would be more faithful to the promises based on the covenant of his son's own blood than any covenant made with an Abraham, a David, or an Old Testament foundation that he has consistently proven his faithfulness. We're going to look at a near heathen prophet in these chapters who spoke the phrase that I have built my ministry on at various times. God is not a man to lie, neither the son of man to repent. Hath he said and shall he not do, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? I think I'm going to have the artist add in the foyer of the cathedral, in addition to those words, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," I'm going to add the words, "God's not a man to lie, neither the son of man to repent. Hath he said and shall he not do, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good?" A near heathen prophet, Balaam, recognized that truth. How much more should we, the beneficiaries of God's grace, recipients of his Spirit, have that reliance on God's faithfulness to his word? And then I think I'll find another place to put the words uttered by Jeremiah speaking for God, "I will hasten my word to perform it." This is the chapter that leads up to that statement by Balaam, "God's not a man to lie." The children of Israel, 22nd, Numbers. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. A little footnote on what I said earlier. There are many ways to go to the world. You can take the approach of the early church fathers. Accumulate a bunch of collegiate voices with differing opinions and hope that truth will work its way out of the confusion. Or use God's way, who selected one man, Paul, to put the church on track. The way of the church has been to have multiplied voices coming from multiplied frames of reference confuse you about the Bible. The Catholic Church has been right in its unified approach to truth, wrong in that they seated the truth in themselves instead of the objective revelation of God's Word. If you have to choose, you listen to them and let them interpret the Word. I've never asked people to believe what I teach about the Word because I say it. I never have ever said, "Well, if you're confused about this passage, God showed me the meaning." I teach like turning lights on in rooms. I believe the Word will interpret itself and support itself and unravel itself, and the Old Testament unfolds in the New, and the New Testament's enfolded in the Old. And I think over 16 years, most of you will bear witness that as I've taught the Word itself has become convincing like a light being turned on. And lots of times I'm sure you've said, "Why didn't I see that?" And you see it because it's there to see. A teacher led you, opened your eyes, put together the full gestalt of God's Word. But at no time do I believe people should take my view because I say it. The Word has convinced me, and I pass on the Word that has been convincing. I've always felt that when I get done teaching and preaching, you should remember the Word more than you remember me. I'm saying this because it's relevant to our approach of taking the message to the world. I've just said that we're pretty much able to put together a teaching through the whole Bible. It's been done already, particularly if I take the tapes of the years before I came here. I have taught you that God has written his message in the stars. He has written his message in stone. And he chose an oracle people to be the conveyors of his word, culminating in the incarnation of the living word, the spoken word, the preached word, and the written word. No prophecy of scripture is a private interpretation. What we offer to the world is a unified voice. That's why we call it the University Network. University means diversity and oneness. I'm the one voice teaching on the diversity of subjects. But you hear a single trumpet. You make your decision based upon the truth of the word itself unveiled. That supplies something, as it has been supplied to you, supplies something to the world, unified round the clock, which is our reason for being, and why now that God has moved us to the platform, as Claire Grace had prophesied, this voice can go, and this teaching of the word with a unified voice as a compass point and a steering voice worldwide. Now, the particular subject now, we often call it teaching on the promises, is to simply show God's faithfulness to his chosen oracle people. To prove up that he's not a man to lie. And this is one of the most amazing incidents in the series of his promises. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Wouldn't it be something to be the son of Zippor? You could go around saying, I got out. My sense of humor bogs me down every time I try to teach. Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and they had done a number on them. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Isn't it wonderful to be God's agent of distress? That's what we want to be. I mean, some people see the role of the church as spreading yellow around. We want to distress people. MFC is for Jesus. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company or assembly lick up all that are round about us? I wouldn't mind having that reputation either. As the ox licketh up the grass of the field. That's not a bad t-shirt either. MFC, Liquor Crew. MFC, Liquor Crew. You know, some people work to witness. You wear the t-shirts, you'll get plenty of opportunity to witness. They say, what's that mean? Well, yeah, how much time you got? Write that down. MFC, Liquor Crew. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they're too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, some of these people that just close the door on God's options have real difficulty with this near heathen having this established, proven reputation. Whom he blessed were blessed, and whom he cursed were cursed. So, Balak, he wanted a curse maker. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Well, that's kind of interesting. God's communing with this near heathen. You're not an Israelite. See, the Bible doesn't record everything going on. Occasionally we get a glimpse of God's workings in other areas. It's the record of his chosen people who are his oracle, designated by God to be the source and communicator, not source, he's the source, but the communicator of his word, preserving it in the stream of mankind. But God had other people he talked to. You know, is Balaam not surprised? It's probably, I mean, good land of Goshen. If this is the first time God ever came to Balaam and said anything to him, I have enough common sense to know Balaam would have been at least, he said, what? Yeah, you've heard that tape, Bill Crosby, where God comes and tells him, build the ark. Say what? It didn't happen, you know. God came unto him. Didn't just speak. God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Now, poor old Balaam hadn't gotten such a bad reputation among the oracle people of God, he probably would have gotten more credits. They make a big deal out of God coming talking to Moses. They act like, you know, no big deal. God came unto Balaam, said, what men are these with you? I bet you Balaam wasn't a fundamentalist. We're going to see he wasn't. I mean, he didn't belong to the First Church of Israel. And what's God doing going over there talking to him? Particularly without asking the First Church of Israel if it's all right. He wasn't even ordained to the First Church of Israel. This calls for a presbyter's meeting. God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? As if God didn't know. And Balaam said unto God, Balak, come on, I'll introduce you to him. Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab. Moab has sent unto me. I deal with that sometimes. I've got enough of the Socratine method ingrained in me teaching that I'll ask rhetorical questions to try to get an understanding when somebody's out of line. I don't quite speak as wonderfully as God does. I say, what in the hell did you do that for? Now, the proper answer is, because I'm an asteroid orifice, forgot my responsibilities, didn't check my notes, didn't use my checklist, didn't follow procedures that I know I'm supposed to, because I've become a smart asteroid that thinks I can remember everything. And I'll say, what in the hell did you do that for? And they'll give me a long-winded speech. Like a Jesuit philosopher. Well, you see, Doc, the sun came up this morning, and Balaam, same way. Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying. And he's just so natural with God. going to find Balaam doesn't get shocked when anybody talks to him. Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Isn't it wonderful he could fill in this detail to God? God didn't know about these people that came out of Egypt, did he? Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. And these people from Balak have come saying, come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them, drive them out. I'll bet you didn't know about those people, God. Now, look, Balaam didn't have a very high respect and sophisticated knowledge of God because he obviously didn't think God knew who they were. He didn't think God knew who these people were that were with him. Wonder if we'll be able to teach God once in a while. Having been properly informed who they were. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Of course, I guess it didn't dawn on Balaam that God was the blesser, because he didn't know that God knew who they were. Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. He didn't have a sophisticated knowledge of God, but he was respectful of the order. God refuses to give me permission to go with you. Boy, I'd like to have a church full of Balaams in spite of the discredit he gets. That would be that obedient to what the Lord tells them. You all know a lot more about the Lord and have got a lot more orders than Balaam had. Well, I got to think tithing over. The tithe is the Lord's, but I ain't turning loose of it. Now, you move aside for Balaam. He's got some limited views of God. But what he knows, he does better so far than most of us. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more, and more honorable than they. Let's send the next level of big shots. They came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse this people. And Balaam answered, and the station break is here, so I got to stop. You get on television.